Pastor Michael E. Tunn, we want to once again thank you for listening today. We want to encourage you to go out and pick up my book and workbook entitled The Secret to Your Best Life. You can pick it up at Amazon.com, The Secret to Your Best Life, the book and the workbook. And if you'd like to save a little money, you can get both the book and workbook on Kindle. Again, it's entitled The Secret to Your Best Life. And you can pick it up at Amazon.com or you can order it at any major bookstore. Pick up copies for yourself and send a copy to a family member or a friend. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you and keep you is my prayer.
We're able to worship you this morning, Father. Thank you, Father, for all who served and who brought us to this point, Father. And Father, we come now just want to turn our hearts and our minds and our souls unto your word, Father. And we pray, Father, that you will speak to us. But Father, we need to hear from you, Father. We are not concerned about hearing from a preacher, but we want to hear from God. So Father, prepare our hearts and minds to receive, Father. Help us to focus, Father, on what you called us to do this morning. In Jesus' name. And the church said, Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And praise the Lord. As always, we continue to cast the vision of the place that we believe God is calling us to go.
Right.
And if you look a little closer, you see that the place is getting a little more in focus.
All right. Amen. All right.
Hello, somebody.
All right.
Amen.
All right. All right.
And I said the place is getting a little bit more in focus.
Mm-hmm.
What God is calling us to do. And,
all right.
And the building committee is going to meet next week. And,
uh-huh.
And we want to conduct God's kingdom business.
All right. Amen.
And help to lead us to this place. But always, I say, get there before you get there. I think that's where I am, about where I am right now.
All right.
I was standing out there on the parking lot, and I asked one of the members, where am I standing? And they said, you're standing in the pool pit. So we want you to get there before you get there. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're continuing in our Acts 1:8 initiative. And this initiative requires us as a church to share the love of Christ on our campus, in our city, in the nation, and in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to Bethlehem!
Share love!
Bethlehem!
Share love!
And how are we going to share it?
By living it and giving it.
Amen. By living it and giving it. I couldn't help but to think we can make this like some people celebrate their birthday for a whole month. Why don't we do that?
Mm-hmm.
Continue to celebrate our birthday for a whole month and invite family members and friends and share the love wherever we are. As we learned on Tuesday night, the preacher said, it's as we are going.
As we
share the love. We don't have to put together a team to come together once a month, but we are that team all together every day as we come on this campus, as we are in the city, as we are in the nation, and as we are in the world. Amen.
Amen.
Bethlehem!
Share love.
Amen. And praise the Lord. We continue as we're going to share this morning how to overcome hateration. How to overcome hateration. And I did not make up that word, but it's a made up word. Somebody did. We're going to be looking at Acts chapter 4, 25 through 31. Stand in reverence to the word of God.
Yeah.
Stand is symbolically saying that I will stand on the word of God. I believe it's four slides. In the NIV, I say to your neighbor,
neighbor,
or neighbor,
neighbor.
I'm going to stand on this word.
I'm going to stand on this word.
Let's read on three. One, two, three.
Back.
When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers stand together against the Lord and against his anointed ones. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly.
Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated in the household of the Lord today. We're sharing a message, how to overcome hateration. And we're going to share this morning about prayer for power. We want you to procure the power and we want you to proclaim with power.
All right.
And we want Christians to know this morning that Christians should proclaim and do the work of God against opposition. Uh-huh. Let me say it again, that Christians should proclaim and do the work of God against opposition. Mm-hmm. We're going to look at this brief video and then we're going to get into the word.
So they threatened them to no longer preach about Jesus. But Peter and John both boldly answered, "You decide whether you think it's right before God for us to listen to you rather than to God. As for us, we can't help but talk about what we've seen and heard." Again, the authorities threatened them, but finally let them go, because Peter and John had done nothing wrong. All the people were praising God for this glorious miracle. We see a supernatural boldness and anointing working in Peter and John as they stood before the authorities. The Jewish authorities did everything they could to threaten and intimidate these early believers. Mm-hmm. Peter's and John's strength was not in their human eloquence or in their training or in their giftedness. Rather, it was in the power and wisdom of the Holy Spirit.
Oh, Lord.
Jesus Christ. Peter and John had boldly testified, despite this overwhelming spirit of hostility and intimidation coming from the same leaders who had rejected and crucified Jesus.
Right. Mm.
Peter and John knew better than to trust in their own human courage or ability. No doubt this was an intimidating and challenging experience for the whole early church. Upon being released, they returned to their fellow believers and told them everything that had happened. We read in the book of Acts that this group of early believers then gathered and prayed fervently. Mm. What was it they were praying for? Mm. Surprisingly, they didn't pray for protection necessarily, but rather for boldness to continue sharing the good news of Jesus Christ.
All right.
This is the same attitude that we must also have as 21st century believers.
Right.
The unbelieving world is hostile to the exclusive claims of Christ. This is why we as believers in Jesus must continually ask for boldness in proclaiming this one and only true message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. The only true message that saves.
Amen. And praise the Lord. Again, we're talking about this morning how to overcome hateration. Hateration. And this text is very marvelous and miraculous text, and once again it is based upon that great miracle that happened on the way to the temple at that gate called Beautiful.
Beautiful, right.
where these two men of God met a man that was in a helpless situation.
Right.
He was not only crippled, but he was crippled from birth.
Yes, right, from birth.
In other words, he never knew a time when he could walk.
Right.
And he got in the habit of being carried to that gate called Beautiful to beg.
Right.
And I always wondered why they set him out there just to beg, as opposed to taking him in the temple and praying to an awesome and mighty God that had the power to heal him.
All right.
See, folk don't mind you being around the church. Hello, somebody. Oh, as a matter of fact, they'll help you get around the church and to beg, but oh, the most dangerous thing that you may do is to come to church. Hello, somebody.
All right.
And be in the presence of an awesome and mighty God. They'd rather for that man to be at the gate called Beautiful on Welfare than for him to be leaping and praising the Lord. But anyway, you know the story. And I even prayed about it this morning, I think. Is that these disciples said that silver and gold have I not.
Right.
And we heard this on Tuesday night as well. It says, such as I have, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. And parenthetically, as I listen to this message on Tuesday night, I got a sermon that I want to preach one day called Suchy Muchy. Because they came to, they're Suchy Muchy. They didn't have much, but they had such. Hello, somebody.
Such
and such as they had. This man got up and walked. What if we could leave this place today and be Suchy Muchy? What if we can go out in the world and tell them, silver and gold have we not, but such as I have. Hello, somebody. What if we could be a church that's such and much is.
Such
hello, somebody. But that's not my sermon.
That's not somebody.
But they were such and much and such as they had. They had much. And they told them to get up and walk. And the next thing you know, that man that sat on the outside of the temple at the gate called Beautiful, he was all up in the service. And he was running and he was leaping. Praise the Lord. He didn't care about what folk thought about him because of what God had done for him. He didn't care where he was. God had done and touched him in such a mighty way that he leaped in the tent. Did somebody come here today leaping? Hello, somebody, because of what God has done. Hello, somebody, because if you have, you can turn this city upside down for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because they saw that same man that was on welfare on the outside of the temple. They saw him leaping on the inside of the temple and praising God.
Right.
So much so that it stared up the city about that name Jesus. Everybody was talking about that name Jesus. Did you hear what Jesus did? Can you imagine those same folk that put Jesus to death and thought his ministry was over? Those same folk that put him up on that Calvary's mountain and nailed him to a cross. Can you imagine? They thought Jesus' ministry was over, but now they're starting to hear about Jesus again. Hello, somebody.
Thank you.
They thought he was dead. They thought they put him to death. Hello, somebody. But now they're hearing about Jesus everywhere. If you want to know whether a church is on fire, they leave this place and they talk about Jesus everywhere. They leave this place and go to Walmart and talk about Jesus. They leave this place. And they go out to Homeland and talk about Jesus. They leave this place and go up to Kentucky McDonald's
work. Hello, somebody talking about Jesus. Oh, are we going to be a church that talks about Jesus? And the only way we're going to be a church that talks about Jesus, we're going to have Jesus at work in our lives. Hello, somebody. Is Jesus at work in your life? If he is, go ahead and give him a hand. Have a praise up in this place. Is Jesus at work in your life? If he is, you can glorify him right now, and you glorify him from now. Hello, somebody. They got tired of hearing about Jesus. So much so, they got these two men and they threatened them. Don't talk no more about Jesus.
Well,
hello, somebody. They told them to shut up and stop talking about Jesus. We don't want to hear about Jesus. We want to hear about the Cowboys. We want to hear about the Sooners. We want to hear about Texas OU weekend. Hello, somebody. Because no matter who wins or lose the game, nobody's probably going to get saved. Hello, somebody. But if you're going crazy talking about Jesus, hello, somebody. Somebody might get saved. Somebody might get healed. Somebody might get set free. Somebody might get delivered. If you talk about that name, Jesus, and they say, stop talking about Jesus. Hello, somebody. Shut up talking about Jesus.
Yeah, can't do it.
And they were threatened by these powerful men.
Well.
Hello, somebody. But they were bold. And they said, hey, judge between God and man whether or not we should stop talking about Jesus.
Yeah.
Hello, somebody. In other words, I'm going to obey God more than man. Hello, somebody.
Yeah.
If somebody's threatening you about talk about Jesus, oh, you better obey God as opposed to obeying man. Hello, somebody.
That was real. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So they saw they wasn't going to get nowhere with them. And they released them. Hello, somebody.
Yes,
and we come now in the text. Oh, after they got released. Oh, and after they experienced all that hateration.
Yes.
The religious leaders hated on them. The religious leaders didn't like their ministry. The religious leaders didn't like their sermons. The religious leaders didn't like how
didn't
they
like
walked. They didn't like how they talked. Oh, has anybody in here ever experienced some hateration? Folks see you and they just don't like you.
They
look at you and think, oh, she thinks she's cute. But all you think is Jesus. Hello, somebody. And they start hating on you because you are a Christian. They start hating on you because you name the name of Jesus. They start hating on you because you won't steal like they steal. They start hating on you like because you won't scheme like they scheme. They start hating on you. Oh, I can remember Dr. Evans told a story about how he used to work at a bus company late at night and they had a scheme about how they could sleep on the clock. So they'd go and sleep and somebody else would punch him in on the clock. And he wouldn't do it. He was a Mr. Goody Two-Shoes. He wouldn't get because he loved Jesus.
Good.
And as a result, he had to experience some hateration and he had to do more work than he would normally do because nobody would help him because they were hating on him.
Good.
So nobody would help him. Because they were hating on him, all that hateration. But to make a long story short, one day somebody from the head company sent somebody at the late shift, and they saw that he was the only one working, and everybody else got fired, and he got promoted. Hello, somebody, because he did the right thing. Hello, sometimes you have to endure some hateration in your Christian life. Oh, you may not play the games. You may not see her. Oh, and people will start hating on you. You may be in the ministry and folk don't like the way you preach. Oh, you preach with boldness. And they wonder, where in the world does this man get all that boldness? He's only pastor at that little old church called Bethlehem and Paul's Valley in that little old city. But when he talks, he opens his mouth with boldness.
Bold.
Hello, somebody. by God.
You're right, man. Oh, I'm with you there, man.
You gotta have some praise up in here. Up in here, up in here. So what do you do?
Right.
When you get hate on.
Yeah.
Hello, some of the young folks say, what do you do when everybody see you? They drink up that haterade. Hello, somebody. You're experiencing hateration. Hello, son. What do you do? Hello, somebody.
Yeah, Jesus.
Pray for power.
Call it. Yes, sir.
Hello, somebody.
Hold on.
Verse 24 says, when they heard this, they raised their voices together in what? In prayer to God. Hello, somebody. And they said, Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them.
Yeah.
They lifted up their voices in praise.
Yeah.
And if you're in that situation right now, folk don't like you. Folk hate on you.
Yeah.
Folk don't like you.
Yeah.
Oh, you better learn how to call on the God that made heaven and earth.
Yeah.
You better call on the God that made the seas.
Yeah.
You better call on him in prayer.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name. Say to your neighbor,
neighbor.
You better learn how to pray up in here. You can see that we live in a church that don't have no power because many churches don't pray. Many churches rather get out an hour than to spend some time at altar of prayer. They're cutting prayer out on Sunday morning. They're cutting prayer out on Wednesday night. They don't fast and pray. Oh, and they don't have no power. They have a lot of members, but they don't have no power.
Yeah.
Oh, say to your neighbor,
neighbor.
You better learn how to pray.
Pray.
You better learn how to pray at your work. You better learn how to pray in your marriage. You better learn how to pray about your children. You better learn how to pray about your church. You better learn how to call on the name of the Lord in Jesus' name.
Pray
for power.
Much prayer.
Say to your neighbor.
Neighbor.
You better pray for power.
Pray
up in
power.
Here, up in here.
Yeah, much
pray for power.
Yeah.
I was reminded of what happened with Nehemiah.
Yes.
Oh, when he started to work on that wall.
Right.
And he started to get some hateration.
Yeah.
Oh, Sanballat started to drink that haterade.
Yeah.
Tobias started to drink that haterade and started to talk about what the people of God were doing and trying to intimidate and threaten them about the work of the Lord. And don't you know, when you're doing something for the Lord, you're going to experience opposition.
Yeah.
You're going to hear people say that it can't be done, that it won't be done, that a little fox standing on the wall and knock the wall down is what they said in this sense. Hello, somebody. But I like what Nehemiah did. Nehemiah didn't come off the wall on the fuss and fight with them. What did he say? And what did he do? He said in a prayer. Hello, somebody. He said in a prayer, hear us, our God. Hello, somebody. We are what despised. Turn their insults back on their own head. Hello, somebody. Give them over to the plunder in a land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or block out their sins from your sight. For they have what? What did they do? They tossed insults in the face of what? Of the builders. They started talking about us, Lord, when we started to build. They started talking about us when we started to even talk about the work of the Lord. Folk started to say that it can't be done, that it won't be done, that it's been 20 years and ain't nothing ever happened. Oh, the preacher back there wanted to build it. Oh, it's not going to be done.
Hey, stop,
and you know what I say, Lord, hear their insults. Lord, hear them talking all that noise and generation. Lord, hear them trying to insult us as we're about to do this marvelous and great Lord work. Lord, hear their cries against the building. But better yet, hear their cries against your program, against your kingdom, against your plan, against your revival. Hear them talk all thing, Lord. Hello, somebody.
Yeah.
In Jesus'
name.
You better learn how to pray an imprecatory prayer up here.
Yeah.
Hello, somebody. Because I'm tired of just talking about it.
Yeah.
I want to see it done.
Amen.
I'm tired of folks saying that it can't be done. When I know that we serve a God of the great I am.
Yeah.
And how are we going to build it?
By living it or giving it?
What did the preacher say in this? 11 o'clock, 11 or 6. How are we going to build it? What did the preacher say? Somebody said it. What did he say? Who's going to do it?
I am.
Hello, somebody! I am going to do it. I'm so glad that I don't have to worry about it. I am going to do it. Who's going to do it?
I am.
Who's going to do it?
I am.
Who's going to do it?
I am.
Not me. Hello, somebody, but he. Hello, somebody, that same I am. Let the children of Israel out of Egypt, took them from the most powerful nation on the planet and left them plundered. Hello, somebody. Surely, if he could do it back then, surely he can do it right now. But in order for him to do it, we've got to pray. Hello, somebody. Say to your neighbor,
neighbor.
You better start praying up in here,
Yeah, much prayer.
Hello, somebody.
Yeah, much prayer.
They had to pray for the power. But not only that, they had to procure the power. Hello, somebody. What did it say? That after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was what?
Shaken.
And then what? And they were what? Filled with the
Holy Spirit.
With the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God. Hello, wait a minute.
Holy Spirit.
How they gonna get filled with the Holy Spirit of God when God says that the day of Pentecost was earlier in the text? Wait a minute. Didn't they get filled with the Spirit on the day of Pentecost?
Yes, it did,
right?
Yes, it did.
So, what is this? What is this? Somebody talk to me. What is this?
It's power of the Lord.
Can the Christian be? Now this can be dangerous. I don't want to get into the theology of this, but can the Christian be refilled?
Amen.
Somebody say yes. Hello, sir. So that means that if I run out of power, I can pray and the Lord can send me some more power. Hello, somebody. Somebody ought to give God a hand kind of praise. Up in here. Somebody ought to say, Lord, give me a refill.
Give me a refill. Can I get a refill?
One of the reasons why we have a lot of weight problems today is that we eat at places where they will let you eat all you can eat. And you can refill your plate.
Somebody.
I have some preacher friends that eat in that place so long that the next meal come along. Hello, somebody. And they go and they keep going up for refill. Hello, somebody. What if the people of God would get back to hold that and they start and stay at the household of the Lord so long that they get refilled. Why we come to church, because the devil takes it out of us and we come back to the church to get a little refill. I need a refill, Lord, of your spirit. I need a refill of your power. The devil keeps sticking me and the power keeps seeping out of me. And that's why I need a refill. And that's why I pray for a refill. Up in this place. I'll say to your neighbor, do you need a refill? You better learn how to pray. Hello, somebody.
Refill, get over.
Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. If we could become gluttons of God's power. Gluttons of God's spirit. Hello, somebody. Some of us are like the pastor and you know how to eat.
All right.
Hello, somebody. In the physical realm. Hello, somebody. But what if we started eating like that in the spiritual realm? Hello, somebody.
We have overflow, man.
Hello, somebody. We'll have overflow up in this place. In Jesus' name.
Thank you.
We truly procure the power. Hello, somebody. He give us the power that we need to accomplish his will.
Right.
Hello, somebody.
Right.
He give us the power that we need to accomplish his will.
His will.
And we're going to need that spirit to flow as we begin to build on that place over there. Hello, because some of us are going to have to work two jobs. We're going to work our regular job and we're going to get off and come to church and work up here. And the only way God's going to enable us to do it is by the power of his Holy Spirit. Hello, somebody. That's why we pray. Hello, somebody.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name. I better move on. At least I keep us too long.
You all right, Red?
The last point. And then we'll go to the Lord's Supper. They got the power, and then what did they do? They proclaimed with power. Hello, somebody. It says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was what? Shaken. Hello, somebody. Somebody says it happens after prayer.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Somebody say to your neighbor,
neighbor.
Oh, neighbor. It happens after prayer. And after they prayed, hello, somebody, the meeting started to shake. After they prayed, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, but this Holy Spirit didn't have them doing something unintelligible. They wasn't in the church spinning on top of their heads. Hello, somebody, they wasn't running up the walls. Hello, somebody, but this Holy Spirit's power seems to be a power to give the Christian the boldness to speak for the Lord. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. It wasn't just talk, it was languages. People all over the world heard in their own language what God was doing. Hello, somebody. And when they proclaimed the power, they spoke the word of God boldly. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Are you able to leave this place and speak the word of God with boldness?
Thank you.
Hello, somebody. Are you intimidated? You heard me say all the time. Everybody else is coming out. Hello, somebody. And they want the world to know. And they got to let it show. And Christian folk are the only somebody's cowering. Hello, somebody. Carrying, hello, somebody. And they can't say nothing. Because they don't pray. Because it happens after prayer. When you spend time with Jesus. When you've been with Jesus, as we learned weeks before, you'll have boldness. Hello, somebody. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, do you have boldness?
Do you have boldness?
It only happens after prayer. Give you boldness. The only way this church is going to grow, not only spiritually but numerically, is that we're going to have to be bold enough to let folk know who we are. I've heard it said that Bethlehem is the best kept secret in Paul's Valley. Hello, somebody. But yet we talk about other things. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. God says he wants Bethlehem to come out. Hello, somebody.
Thank you.
And he wants the world to know. And, and we've got to let it show. Hello, somebody. Are you ready to come out? Hello, somebody. I hear God praying a celestial game that some of us used to play back in the day. Some of you might not know what game this was because you have the Wii and you have the Xbox and you ain't never went outside to play. Some of us who used to play outside. Hello, somebody.
They retired,
and one of the games we used to play was called Hide
that she
comes. Yeah, they don't know nothing about that, Red.
Oh, is it on my...
Don't know nothing about this.
Can I get it on my iPhone? Now you can't get it. On your iPhone. Hello, somebody. You got to go outside and get a few friends.
Yeah.
And you got to get somebody. We said, I'm not it.
I'm not it.
And the person that didn't say I wasn't it, they were it.
Yeah.
And then they had to bow down up against something and hide their face and say, 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35.
They don't know nothing about that, Rhea.
You ain't supposed to look, but some of us look. Everybody else was trying to hide.
Tell me, peep it out, Rhea.
But you weren't supposed to look. Then we used to get up. We have to say these words. I hear God saying to Bethlehem, come out.
Come out. Wherever you are. Come on, Rhea. Thank you, Lord.
God is
cool seeing, Rhea.
All right. Yeah.
Come out. Come out.
Yeah.
Wherever you are.
Yeah.
Hello, somebody. Yeah. Come out.
Come out.
Come out.
Yeah.
Wherever you are.
Say it.
Hiding in Walmart.
Oh,
or Walmart Disposition Center. You may be hiding. Oh, somewhere else at Homeland. You may be hiding. Oh, at the gym. You may be hiding. Oh, as a football player, basketball player, cheerleader. You may be hiding where you are. But God says, come out. Come out.
Come out.
Wherever you are.
Yeah.
Say it with me. Come out. Come out. Wherever you are. In Jesus' name. Give God a hand clap of praise. Up in here, up in here. It can only happen.
Yeah, super. Prayer.
Hello, right, somebody.
Yes.
I'm going to go ahead and close. Deacons, will you come?
Thank you. That's good, man. That's good.
Deacons, will you come? Saints.
What a word.
Your eyes are closed and heads are bowed.
Yes, Lord.
As we respond to the word of God, how to handle heteration, which is just a sermon about the power of prayer.
Right.
People may not like you.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you have to pray.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad that Jesus wasn't into the popularity game that we play today. Because it wasn't popular for him to be in that Garden of Gethsemane praying with sweat drops of blood coming from his brow. Hello, somebody. He prayed that prayer because he had to come to turn between his will and God's will. And he prayed that the cup would pass, but he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He came out for the Lord, and when he came out, they tried him for crimes that he didn't commit.
Yeah.
When he came out, they put a crown of thorns on his head. And when he came out, they whooped him and mocked him and scorned him. When he came out, they beat him. They put a crown of thorns on his head and a cross on his back. When he came out, they led him through the streets of Jerusalem with that cross on his back. When he came out, they led him to that hill called Golgotha.
Yeah.
But it only would happen after prayer. Because he said, Lord, not my will be done, but thy will be done. He wouldn't have the power to do what he was doing had he not prayed. They put him at that hill called Golgotha, nailed him to the cross. Raise him up between two thieves. It only happened after prayer.
Yeah.
And when they raised him up between two thieves, it was like they were saying that he was just like them, but he wasn't like them. He was God's only son who came to die for the sins of the world. He came to die for the sins of the world. They couldn't take his life, so he gave his life. He gave up the ghost, and they put him in a borrowed tomb. And they thought he had the victory.
Well,
the grave decided to do his praise song because he thought he had the victory. But I'm so glad that I'm in the heavenly. Oh, God played that game with Jesus. And he said on the third day, come out! Over death in the grave, he came out. And Jesus, you come out right now. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you come out and get to know Jesus.
Listening today, and we want to take this opportunity to describe the ABCs of salvation. The A of salvation is accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The B of salvation is believe in your heart. And the C of salvation is to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you can do those three things today, then you can be saved. If you can believe that Jesus Christ is God's only Son, that he died for your sins and was buried and raised again on the third day, then today you can be saved. And you can pray a simple prayer of salvation and just ask God into your heart to accept, believe, and confess today, and you will be saved. If you pray a prayer of salvation, we want you to become a part of a church home. If you're anywhere near Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, we want to see you at the Bethlehem Baptist Church. We want to thank you for listening. Bless you. Hello again. This is Pastor Michael Eaton. I want to once again thank you for listening today. We want to encourage you to go out and pick up my book and workbook entitled The Secret to Your Best Life. You can pick it up at Amazon.com. The Secret to Your Best Life, the book and the workbook. If you'd like to save a little money, you can get both the book and workbook on Kindle. Again, it's entitled The Secret to Your Best Life, and you can pick it up at Amazon.com, or you can order it at any major bookstore. Pick up copies for yourself and send a copy to a family member or a friend. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you and keep you is my prayer.